I was thinking, as we were talking about like ruined childhoods and all that such stuff, and I was thinking about, and I had the song stuck in my head that was like Apocalyptica. Is that what it was? Was it Apocalyptica, or was it just Stone Sour? And it was like, I'm not Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. And the whole song was about him like cursing out this priest that raped him.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, thought you were a good man. Thought you talked to God.
We're coming in hot with the subject matter.
Oh yeah, God.
It's just opening up with rape.
Yeah, forget that you and I know that we've already started this conversation 25 minutes ago.
Yeah, 46 seconds into the live cast. Jesus. Dude, what happens back? I guess what happens backstage don't stay backstage anymore.
Nah, we'll air it all.
Man, there's no kayfabe anymore. This is
well, the word kayfabe, I believe, is all the way dead.
Kayfabe, excuse me.
Point, it doesn't really exist anymore.
I think
everything is either like
all I think the social way media might have ruined that. All the way,
excuse me.
I think social media might have ruined kayfabe, like.
Yeah,
so
I came up with a word for it, and I've been trying to get it going. And please feel free to use it if you want to spread it and make it a thing. I say, since everything is such a worked shoot, you don't know what's what. Everything's in a gray area. You don't know
if it's thrown into to an ether, basically. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cord.
I said I've been calling it gray fabe.
That's great. I do like that. It's great. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. So no, but I've been thinking about that for a while, because even with movie stars and stuff, like I think up until the internet got so commonplace, and not even the internet, I want to say social media got to the point where everybody is on camera every single moment. We lost a lot of magic that we believed in because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that especially as a filmmaker or as a fan of film, not even a filmmaker, because like even now I don't think of, like, when I think of Bruce Lee, for example, or like Tupac or one of these guys, I'm putting it in context of what I see right now with like who's big on social media, who's doing what, and it's like, well, yeah, of course everybody looked up to them. It's one guy who just had to act mystifying every now and again. You can't even pull that off for too long. Like,
right.
Who's the last guy who tried to, like...
overexpose somebody. We're all overexposed. There's no mystique at all anymore. If anybody wants to understand who you are, they just got to pay attention to what your social media presence is. And that's who you think you are.
It's so Orwellian that, like... So, what was the guy? Was it, like, the guy who got caught like with steroids, and it was like, no, all I eat is organ meats or whatever.
Oh, Liver King.
Liver King, yeah. It was like, that guy was very clearly on roids, but he had like a good like year where he convinced everybody, no, he is just magically this barbaric dude. And it's like, it really did not take long. People go like, no, he puts chemicals in his butt.
Not an injection needle into his ass cheek. He puts chemicals into his butt. He has a bidet filled with chemicals. Shoot him right up there.
But you know what I mean? Like, dude, it's the same. Like, I mean, this is cancel culture pushed that a lot, which, you know, that there's a positive to that. But the negative is that nobody can be mystifying now. Like, even some of my favorite wrestlers that it came out, they're like, yeah, it's like, wow, there's such a social media presence. I don't even, when I see them in character, I'm like, oh, that's the character.
Mm. Right.
And it's like, they're not the same on social media. On social media, they're just their, gray face. They're just their natural selves. Like, Which makes you like them more if they're likable, but it also kind of makes you hate them.
Did you ever do anything that, like, if you were to do it now, you'd be canceled for it?
What do you mean? Like
any jokes or any, inappropriate behaviors.
In my 20s, definitely when I first started doing comedy, like half the jokes I was telling were trash. Like it was very racist, very, you know, sexist, whatever. Like, yeah, man, I couldn't pull that shit off today. But also we didn't have TikTok the pressure to be like, I got to put out a new clip every day or three clips a day and all this stuff. I'm like, man, let me just go make a movie. That'll take 3 years out of my life and I can give you one accumulated thing.
Mm-hmm. You got to break that accumulated movie into 10, 15 minute clips. Well, and then you got to get those 15 minute clips into 1 minute clips and do 15 of them.
Well, no, I think now, especially as an independent, filmmaker, what you have to start doing is while you're making your movie, you have to have someone there. Cause you used to keep a photographer on set just to get set pictures so that you can have them later. Yeah. Now I need somebody to be doing that shit all day. All right. Sound speeding, cameras rolling. Is TikTok on? Let's, you know, someone just has, like, you gotta get some college kid to just, like, bump up your views. Like, it's what it is, man. It's a game that that we all unfortunately have to continue to play. If you want to.
Setting? What's the trend setting?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah.
It's
not even a trend anymore. It's just keep pumping.
Mm-hmm. FYP.
Yeah. FYP.
For you page. That's like one of the hashtags that you got to use to get more views. Oops. That was my phone.
That's cool. 7 minutes. Yeah. We already got into the controversial stuff.
7 minutes. The thing is, man, these last like 2 weeks have been pretty nuts. And I'm recording two podcasts today. And this is the first time I've sat in front of this microphone in this room and kind of talked in like a month. I've kind of ignored it for like a month because life is gonna get it kind of in the way. My girlfriend's been out of the country. She's going on an airplane right now from Saudi Arabia to come back here.
Oh jeez. So,
what a timestamp right here and right now. She's on an airplane from Saudi Arabia coming back here. She was in Jakarta in Indonesia, which is right above Australia, so exactly on the opposite side of the world than us.
Oh, geez, wow! Literally on the axis, like we're up here, she's all the way down here. Yeah.
How do you feel about the conspiracy about Earth being flat?
Fucking, I don't know, man. I'll be honest, I haven't paid I stopped paying attention to conspiracy. I work labor, so I listen to conspiracy people all day. And I'm listening, the one that's still annoying me is like, well, when the robots come, they're gonna come take our jobs. And it's like, well, I'm glad robots replaced the Mexicans for a little while. There's an election around the corner. Where are we gonna build the next wall? Tesla?
I think my idea of that, like there are airplanes that fly all around the world the entire day. There are flight maps that like are drawn out by engineers who are way smarter than me and definitely way smarter than anybody who's saying the Earth is flat. And
I've never heard anyone with the proper like degree, the proper education, with the proper authority explain how the world could be flat. Everybody's been like, no, it's round. I'm not gonna say you know, it's one of those things like you got no degree in this. Your know-how is literally a guy who's like, you know why it is? Because why is it one side? Like, you what know, is the math?
You know, the fun game of spinning the globe and then stopping it on one place and being like, yeah, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to that place.
That? You see that? You see that? Do that on paper. Oh, man. The only thing, you know what's more mesmerizing is finding out that people's globes show their country bigger than everyone else's, like on or their continent slightly bigger than everyone else's. That used to trip me out a lot. It was like, I thought America was always the biggest.
I didn't know that they did that.
That was the thing for a while. It's like a pseudo propaganda, I think, but like, I don't know if they did it for everything, but it was just to kind of extrapolate, like, no, this is where we are in compared to everything, like, in reference to everything else. But I don't know. That's stuff I have no knowledge on. I'm until the day I have to research it for a movie to make. I don't know.
Can you talk to me a little bit about? I mean, I don't want this to sound like it's like a podcast that like has a format from the start to finish, because we've already identified and understood that this isn't that. But talk to me about Porch Pirate. And the whole idea and where it came from and the execution and the making of.
Well, the initial idea, the original idea kind of came a little bit from a series of sketches that Lemaire and I tried to write called Heist Krispies. That fell through and we didn't end up doing anything with it. But essentially that was going to be it was going to be like a hijinks comedy where two bumbling idiots try to rob a church. And then they find out it's actually a drug front. And then that got scrapped. But the similar type of concept, similar premise, or whatever, kind of came about after an article. There's an article that came out, I think in 2019, 2020 or something, about a guy in Denver who stole from a medical supply shop. And then he ended up stealing a box that contained cadaver heads, like for medical research. Mm-hmm. And they never specified like whether this was intentional, whether it was an accident, whatever. But so it kind of left it up to speculation. Is it some junkie who like, oh, I was after fentanyl, but I found a box of heads instead? Or did this guy specifically go grab a box of heads and do this thing? So I just kind of let my imagination run a little wild with that. Initially, it was kind of meant to be a dark comedy. And then it slowly just like felt like it should be more of an actual suspense than anything else. So the premise for the movie now is a guy steals a package off a porch, only to find out that it's actually a trap set there by someone who's been watching him. And then in the box is a human head, and the human head is actually a different package thief that they all eventually like realize. One of the guys realizes he knows. That's like literally the first, like maybe third of the movie. Maybe I shouldn't give too much away, but yeah, essentially you're watching a package thief fuck his life up and everyone around him.
The first question, porch pirates ask other porch pirates.
Well, there's a porch pirates union. That's
the one thing. A porch pirate ship.
Yeah, there's a
look through a telescope. Are they home?
Arr, you me see an Xbox. Me, I think that's just delivered tampons. It's so funny because like when I wrote the movie, I was like thinking about like the different times that I've definitely had a package stolen off my porch. You know, sometimes it's stuff that you actually care about, like a book or whatever, or like an electronic thing. Like I've had my phone, a phone delivered to me, like literally cut out the bottom and taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but I've also had such petty little stuff where it was like, I remember back when it was like contactless deliveries, where the you know GoPuff and everything would just you know leave stuff at your door and then just text you after they left. I had that, and I remember one time I walked outside and I caught a kid about like sneaking up to open my GoPuff, and it's like I had you know chips and snacks and you know things, but I as soon as I open the door, this kid looks up. He's like, "Can I get some?" I've never slammed a door in a kid's face faster in my life. I was like, fuck you. Please.
The balls of some people, man. The just like
first off, the gamble to actually go steal a package off somebody's porch, you're probably not getting anything great. Everything gets delivered. Like, you know, somebody stole from us now, like you're getting a thing of cat litter, or, you know, like you're getting cat food, or you're getting a fucking, like, you might get a bag of, like, salty treats or something. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get anything valuable.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do with little caps that screw onto Mitsubishi tires? I don't, like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, I'm, to be fair, I'm also still mesmerized at the fact of, like, what gets stolen, even in Philly. Like, dude, when I used to ride my bike before I had a car, my bike seat got stolen more times than anything else. And in my mind, I'm sitting there going, who the fuck is buying all these bike seats? Who is taking payment for fentanyl in bike seats? Like, how many hits of H do you get for your bike seat? Here's your heroin. That'll be 11 bike seats. Like, how does that work?
What if somebody was just playing a prank on you, and then someone's gonna knock on your door and leave just a box full of all your stolen bike seats, and
if someone is accumulating all the bike seats
somebody is coming after you. One of these days, you're gonna open your door, you're gonna open this box up, and it's gonna be like overflowing with bike seats, and you're gonna be like, bike seats back. Come on.
Yeah, it's a bunch of beavers. They're using them for, like, they're holding back a stream. Oh my god, man. Yeah, no, it is kind of crazy to me, like what kind of shit does get stolen. Some things will piss me off if they get stolen, and it's not even the biggest things you think of. Like, when my phone got stolen, it's like, oh, that's cool. I'll just call Verizon and let them know exactly what happened. I literally just, I'm getting a better phone now. Because I'm going to act more pissed off than I probably should.
I had these magnets. They were Rick and Morty. I had one side of the car, I had the Rick sticker. And on the other side of the car, I had the Morty.
Yeah.
Somebody stole the Rick. And I just had the sun faded Morty forever. Yeah. Just right over, like, where the opposite to where the gas tank is on the other side of the car.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I'm not getting rid of it. It's just going to stay there. And then for Christmas, someone got me a brand new set, Rick and Morty, like brand new ones. So I finally got rid of the old sun faded Morty that had been there for like a year.
Yeah.
And they were on there for like 2 days, and someone took them.
Jesus. And you know, it is funny how arbitrary the shit is that does get stolen, though. It's crazy. Because I was thinking about that with did you ever watch Batman the Animated Series?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I can't remember the episode, but I remember it was like, I guess it was somebody was dousing somebody with like a hypnosis drug where it made that it like kind of turned them into bad guys or something. I just remember it was like a guy, he was holding up like a rich people party, but he wasn't stealing anything of value. He was stealing like he ripped the phone out of the wall and he's like hugged it like it was a prize. like that's the kind of shit that gets stolen now. Like, it's never like, if somebody stole my GoPuff bag of Doritos, I'm just gonna be like, hey, you forgot the Doritos. It doesn't really hurt anybody. At this point, it's a victimless crime. I get my $3 back.
Yeah, I think with certain delivery apps and things like and Amazon and stuff, you could just tell them you didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then they just replace it.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like, it's not the driver's fault. Like, it's not like it's not left in the driver's car. Somebody didn't pack it. It's one of those things where no one can technically claim fault. So it's nobody. No one's a victim and no one's a bad guy.
I was thinking about how if I had time traveled from like 1995 to right now, overhearing conversations about like apps that deliver stuff to your house and things like that, and overhearing that and being like, what the hell are you talking about? Like,
hey, you mean like the milkman?
Right. And I was thinking about it earlier, and I was thinking about like how normal it is to hear outside of your door that sound that the Amazon truck makes as it's backing up.
Oh yeah.
Like it's normal now, but like if I just woke up from a coma and I was hearing that all the time, I would be like, what in the world? What in the world is that sound? But that might be some sort of like auditory sort of like trigger that might go off one day that makes AI take over the world.
It's so funny how that works out though, man. Cause that's not that kind of technology. It is funny that it's as simple as like, oh, the truck that delivers all your shit. Like, cause I remember like, I remember when grocery delivery was first a thing, and it was with very specific companies, and they were their own grocery store. This is before, like, and I was like, oh, I can do that. I could be a courier. And now it's like, oh, anybody can be a courier. Like, that used to be a very specific job.
Did you say courier?
Yeah, like, or a bike messenger or whatever. Like, people literally used to go deliver shit for people. And that was a job that required... I don't know if it required a skill, but it at least required you to understand how to read a Thomas guide. You had to have a
certain amount of training.
Yeah, you had to know your area.
Now it's like you just download an app and it tells you where to do and how to do it, and then you're good to rock and roll.
Dude, I haven't had to read a map in a long time. I still do, because I'd rather just be like, oh, I can take this street and find my way. But like I haven't read a map in years. And it's like, that's one of those things. Like, yeah, just put it in Google. Let it figure out the fast way. We'll figure it out.
Have you ever read out loud the word map and then directly after, right after you do that, then say Ness?
What?
Spell the word map. Say
M-A-P.
I, and then spell map.
Oh, I am a penis. That's okay. Oh man.
Maturity.
No, my girl got me with that the other day. She walked in the room. She's like, it smells like Up Dog in here. Yeah.
I just did that at the bar the other night.
Yeah.
When I went silly to the takeout to get like other cases of stuff.
Yeah.
For bar backing. And the girl was like, is that everything? And I was like, yeah, but do you got any Up Dog back there? And she's like, what? What's Up Dog? And I was like, you tell me what's Up Dog. Or actually, you know what I did? I said butt force.
You got butt force? I always ask for butt force.
What's you got a butt for back there?
It's for pooping, silly. Dude, those jokes are so fucking dumb, but God.
So stupid.
They've lasted eons for good reason.
No, how do you feel about puns and things like that?
I don't know, man. They're fine. They exist.
You know what I mean? Like some people like cringe at them and they're like, oh, that's lazy. And it's like, no, it actually takes a good amount of intelligence to come up with those. I think I feel personally insulted when I come out with a good pun and someone hits me with I feel like that's a personal heckle. Like once you bdumts me, I'm gonna pinpoint something about you that you don't like.
Like, see, I've upgraded that because I usually yell out zingo. If you're talking about, are you talking about just like straight up comedy? Like if somebody's jokes, the punchline is a pun, or are you just talking about it? Like, dude. Yeah, I'm not. If it's square ass people doing that, yeah, man, that's your humor. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
I know plenty of people who talk in puns all day. Some of them are cool. Some of them are fucking annoying. But you know, overall, who cares?
I think there's a skill level worthy of respect when it comes to like intelligent puns. I think when they say, "Oh, that's the lowest form," It's like, no, it's not. The lowest form is ventriloquism. Calm yourself.
Yeah. I don't know. I stopped categorizing lowest form of comedy or lowest form of this anymore because it's like, everything kind of has its place.
Yeah, you're right. You're so good.
I don't know. Like, I'm saying this as a guy who still, like, gets, like, internally, like, mad when I see, a guy who's, say, another Latino and they're doing really stereotypy Latino jokes. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, just fucking it's 2024. Give us some dignity.
I feel like, I almost feel like, maybe me saying this is coming from a straight cisgender white male, so it might not come out correctly. But I feel like anytime anyone brings up, like, they're like, oh, it's because I'm this, it's because I'm that. Like, I think that's corny. Like, I think that's
you're,
like,
what are you talking about? Like, more like I was talking about this on. I was talking about this with my girl the other day. I was talking about this with another comic. How like there was that threshold of the comedians who like were trying to be an identity before they were trying to be funny.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There was definitely, like, if that's what you're referring to, there was a divide in that.
It's a pandemic. Yes.
A pandemic. Oh Jesus.
It's like tricky. Like at my job.
Yeah, where there's do I get one... my shots for that?
There's this girl at my job who, like, almost like anytime anyone says anything to her, she goes, it's because I'm black. Or it's like, oh, you're saying that to me as a white man. Or, like, everything has to be, like everything has to be from her perspective of, like, this is going to get a reaction out of people by me bringing up this part. And it's like, be interesting is all. Just be a little bit more interesting. You're not the only black person I've seen today. You're not the only non-binary person I've seen today. Like, yeah, I don't.
That's a hard one because it's like, dude, I don't like. Are you being racist? No.
Are you trying to get sympathy? I don't get it. Like,
no, I get what you mean though. There are people who will, like, they got to be a victim at some point so that they can get something later on. Yeah, no, it's
crazy.
That's more toxic than anything else. It's just
Did you see Colin Quinn's new stand-up special on YouTube?
No, I didn't. I heard it was.
Dude, you have to look that up. You have to watch this. Okay. So good.
It's Colin Quinn. I already know it's good. Like
it's called Our Time Is Up. Mm. And he is doing his special at a psychotherapist's meet and greet symposium thing.
Oh,
so he's just playing comedy to a room full of therapists.
Oh shit! Okay,
it's so good.
That's cool. I remember. What was it? All those guys. They did like a. I remember they did a thing where it was like, they did the comedy show at the, like out in the open at a baseball field or something, and it was everyone was in their car, and instead of laughing, they all just honked their horns.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. The
that was like way back when. Sorry,
he did it on HBO, right?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was on. I got to switch over. My phone battery is starting to go. Let me turn on the light here. Sorry, go to the old office. Oh man.
Were you able to plug it in?
Yeah, no, I just had to plug the phone into my only available outlet right now. It's in my office kind of space where this is Baby Goblin Productions. It is literally these three monitors and a gaming desktop.
Nice.
This is where the movie was edited together.
Yeah, so you spent a lot of time sitting in that chair.
Oh, dude, I've spent a lot of time
watching the same scenes over and over and over and over.
Redoing it. Oh, man, that is. I don't know. It's so funny because people will ask, like, what's the hardest part of movie making, it's like, dude, every single step has its own set of like challenges and difficulty that it's kind of hard to say what the actual hardest part is. Physically, it's being out there with the camera and like, you know, oh, I got to hoist this on my shoulders. I got to run and build the next scene with no one there, or like the people there not knowing what they're doing, wrangling everybody because we shot on such a small budget. But then again, there's like, oh, now I got to sit here and rack my brain over how am I going to get this scene to cut into this scene without it looking like it's shot on two different days. So
continuity is one of the hardest parts. Trying to make sure things mesh together well, looking like they're the same location or the same day, when they definitely aren't, and like that and wardrobe, dude. Every little piece of filmmaking is its own level of difficult, and then editing. Editing is you rewatching the same things over and over and over, and like obsessing about like the way something's emphasized and the way that each word is cut exactly.
Yeah. So I only just recently, it took like maybe 3 or 4 screenings before I got Porch Pirate to look as good it and make it feel good as I really wanted it to be. Before I'm like, okay, I don't think there's much else I can do, and now I can just breathe and then let it be. Because I swear to God, like, every time we even tried to, like, screen it somewhere, every time I watch it with somebody, I find something else wrong. For the first 3 screenings, I'm just sitting there. I'm either nervous as hell, and I have, like, 3 whiskeys in me, because I'm like, just to calm myself down enough to, like, now I just have to beam my eyes at the TV. I swear to God, I didn't blink for the first 2 or 3 screenings. Because I've seen them, like, I watched my movie enough times where, like, I have to find every little thing wrong so I can fix now. And now it's enough where I'm like, okay, I don't, after the 5th or 6th time of like, I got to spend a week here to let it re-render. It's good. It's fine. It's where it needs to be, but it's clearly good enough, man. It won something. Like it won an award recently. So that was cool.
What was the award?
Best original original concept. And I think it's nominated for Best Feature. This is for the Independent Horror Film Awards. I'm not sure how much accolades that actually is, but you know, I'll take it. Someone likes it.
I mean, any win is a win. Like, every little bit counts, as they say. So, what are your goals now at this point? Are you going to continue making more films? Into like some more stand-up, trying to get comedy going,
dude, more? It's so funny because I'm in a spot now where I'm like, first off, I need to pay off a lot of debt, which is why I've been hustling this movie around, trying to like get it screened everywhere so I could at least sell t-shirts and stuff so I can start making some money back from this movie. It just passed quality control on through Film Hub, so hopefully it will distribute soon and I can make money that way.
Nice. Did you have to like go through the whole like subtitle track, that whole rigmarole that they go for?
It's a ridiculously demanding thing, but it's one of those things that once you have all your ducks in order, it's actually pretty easy to get it passed. You just have the first time around, it's like you go in there just naked. You don't know that you need half the stuff. Oh, I need release forms for my actors. Well, my actors are my buddies that were just happy to be in a thing. Man. Shit, maybe I should get those. Here, go. Then I, you know, find a document. It's like legally binding enough. Then I'm like, here, sign this. Just so you're saying it's cool for me to use your image and likeness in my movie. And then, you know, things like, even though my music was all royalty free, I still had to go and put together, you know, cue sheets and whatnot so I can show that, okay, we legally can use this. Here's all the information. Here's where you can find it. Here's all the stamps of records of when it became public domain. It's, you essentially, it's, you have to prove, it's almost like building a case. Like you're sitting there, like I have to prove with beyond a reasonable doubt that this music can be used in my movie.
This is all mine.
Yeah.
I can like, use this. It's all mine. Yes.
Yeah. It's, but to go back to your question, as far as what's next, as of right now, I am still working on stand up. Like I think I'm going back on the road with Lemaire later in the summer and the fall kind of time. Otherwise, man, I'm chilling. Like right now, I'm trying to make Texas? What's that?
Did Lemaire move to Texas?
He did. He's in Austin.
Okay. Yeah. He's
famous.
Right before he moved, we were texting back and forth, and I said, do my podcast again, and he was like, I'll come over. And I was like, I don't need you to come over. And he's like, no, I'm going to come over to your house. And I was like, never mind. Never mind.
That's because you're a good hang, Cor. That's what that, if Lemaire wants to come over to your house, it's because you're a good hang.
No, thank you.
I'm like, let's just do it virtually so I can stay home. I like being in my space.
Right. Like, I think you and him both did individual episodes with me here.
Yeah.
And Ash was here. And Ash was, I just hung out with him last week or something. And he was like, oh, dude, repost that episode with Lemaire. Because do you remember I was like tripping on acid while that was going on? And I was commenting.
I do remember that.
He was like, I saw shoes on the ground and I thought those were alligators.
Oh,
he was like, I was commenting on that. And I'm like, sure, I'll re-put that episode out and see if it's any enjoyment.
Yeah.
I think that's people hilarious. Will enjoy it.
It's so funny, man. I keep getting pop-ups of all the old stuff that Lemaire and I used to do when we had our little, we had the Woke AF show.
Right.
And then we did a couple of our early sketches. And just seeing those and then seeing how far we've come from that has been kind of that thing of like, wow. We were just a couple, like, it's not even that long ago, but it's like, man, we are kids. You know, we've either gained or lost shit tons of weight, depending on which one of us you're talking to. Mm-hmm. We look very different. We sound different now. Like
I know you guys through Chris Cotton.
Yeah,
I was friends with Chris and
RIP, man, that was one of the biggest in our lives.
He definitely pointed you guys out to me and was like get involved with these guys. They think that you guys will be a good fit, hang out and be friends. And here we are, we're still friends.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, Chris.
Thanks, RIP, Chris.
Chris was a great connector. Mm-hmm. He knew who went where with what, and he just kind of figured who could vibe in the right spots, man. It was great.
You know, I'm still looking forward to the day, and I can't say I'm going to know for sure when it happens, but right when his wife was pregnant, like she was like 9 months pregnant when he passed.
Yeah.
And I re-released those episodes, and in those episodes, he talked about how much he loved his wife. He talked about how much he loved his life. He talked about, like, we got on the record conversations about us talking about how valuable we found each other's relationships with each other, and like how much I thought he was dude, you're a star to me, regardless of where you go from this point.
Yeah. That was one of the things I came across because that was back when I was still like freelancing, you know, video. And I
you did one for one me.
One of the things I used to do was, I didn't even ask him, but like he like gave me spots if I went up to New York and I recorded him when he was at like Caroline's and stuff. And I went back through and I was like, wow, I have like an old tape of you from Caroline's. And I still like I sent it to his wife. Like, hey, I don't know if you ever saw this, but this is a thing. And she, like, it was just one of those things. Like, when I saw it, like, it made me cry because it's like, damn, I remember that day. It was so many of us there. We were all hanging out. We came back in a crowded truck together. None of us were really, like, somebody except for Chris, who was, like, just starting to get that, starting to blow up, and he's like, "Oh, he's about to take."
What was this? Every damn day was the Comedy Central show he was doing.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like it was that, and then like he would come over to the house, and we did a series where he reviewed movie trailers, which I've wanted to do something similar since, but I'm like, I don't know if I should. I might. I'm still trying to figure out I think right now the thing to go back to what to do next, I'm trying to figure out what is the thing that's the most, what should I do that's the most consistent on top of all the other projects I really want to do. Because everyone wants to throw their idea at you of like, hey, I have an idea for a script or I have an idea for a thing. And it's like, yeah, but I do too. Like, I have to do my.
I like my ideas for me more than I like your ideas for me.
Which is like, yeah, no, I don't like saying that out loud because some people actually have some really great ideas, but it's like, I don't think I'm the guy to make them, but I can point you in the direction of the people who do. Because one thing, you still got to pay that little bit forward. If I took anything from Chris Cotton, if I can't do the thing one of my buddies wants, let me see if I can get them in contact with someone who can.
Right.
And now you guys work.
I get tons of people who go like, people are like, oh, I've always wanted to do this, and then talk to me and ask me how to do it. And I'm like, the idea is, I just because you know me now doesn't mean that I'm doing it for you. Doesn't mean that I can tell you the answers, because that's, what worked for me isn't going to be what works for you. And
well, that's two things that happen. You become the qualifier for a lot of things. Like with stand-up, that's a big one. That's the moment you start doing stand-up. Everybody in your life who finds out that you do stand-up wants to tell you a joke. They want to give you something that maybe you can use this in your set. Probably not. And in your mind, you're going, no, I can't. I have jokes that I have to write meticulously because it's me speaking. Now, I can't put your voice in my brain. But, I get it, though, man. Like, it's one of those things where I stopped getting upset about it. And I started understanding because I had a high school principal explain it to me one time where it's like, yeah, no, the thing is that they're excited for you and they're excited because it's something they've wanted to do too. And it can be annoying, but at the same time, man, like everybody, some people need to know how to communicate with you, especially if you're doing a thing they've wanted to do or they admire. It's like, it's kind of, I love when people tell me their ideas for a script they wrote. Or the thing they're working on. One of the first things I tell them is like, man, I am 9 drafts deep in a script I wrote back in 2019. I'm still rewriting it.
Right.
You're always going to be stuck in that until you pull the trigger and just do it.
It's kind of almost like I have so many irons in the fire as it is. And it kind of reminds me of like, I work at a restaurant. Right, I'm a server. And it kind of reminded me of while I'm like popping in an order in the system, and then someone will be like, hey, when you get a chance, can I have another Dr. Pepper? I'm like, I'm right in the middle of this. You're really screwing me up. Like, I don't. How about when I have a chance, you ask me? How about you ask me next time I have a chance? How about you wait until I'm not doing something at this very moment?
Oh, dude. Basically, what you're saying is it's hard to be nice. Yeah. It's so hard to be nice sometimes.
Yeah.
Nah, but that's the thing, man. It's certain things like that that it doesn't bother me anymore. That depends. Like if I'm making money doing a thing and I have to be nice, obviously I'm going to. And it helps, you know, it helps smooth things over when you need stuff also. It's like, it's not to hedge your bets so much as it is to just, like, extend the same courtesy you'd want people to extend to you, obviously, but, oh, man, there's a little lack of tact with people. Like, I'll tell you, some of the first people to hit me up that they have an idea for a thing that they want help on were people I've never heard from before, who never really liked or, you know, subscribed or did any, really supported any of my stuff, but the moment you put something out, they're all over you. And it's okay because everyone's trying to find the in. Like it's all an in at this point. It's I've gone from being really upset about it to being like, eh. I definitely did the same thing to other people before, so.
I got this pitch that I want to throw at you. Here goes this pitch. So this guy and these two women all live together in an igloo. They live in an igloo, and it's going to be like a sitcom, and I want to call it Freeze Company.
To be fair, it might sell. It might sell. I'll tell you why it might sell, because Tubi will buy anything, and that's what I'm banking on.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, I'm
banking on Tubi to buy any and everything I make. Fucking. It's so funny. Now,
all it takes is getting one foot in the door, and then the next thing breaks through just as much.
I don't know how old this movie is, but I went on Tubi to watch, because Tubi is a great place to watch like movies you rented on VHS that you thought you imagined. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they don't have. I think I said it the other day, where it's like the store where I used to rent videotapes. If they didn't have Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you got Psycho Redneck. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if they didn't have Jurassic Park, you got Dinosaur Forest or whatever. And I think it's Tubi has become that, but the movies on there are so unbelievably dumb that you can't help but appreciate it. Like, I saw one the other day, it was called Death Toilet.
You know what? I might be on some movies that are on Tubi. I've been in some dumb stuff.
Dude, I remember the short film you sent me. I remember kind of being like, whoa, my boy's on a thing. The fuck is this?
Oh, man. I've been proud of some of that stuff.
Dude, there are four movies in Death Toilet as a series. I'm looking it up on Tubi right now. I think this is slowly just becoming a pitch for Death Toilet than it is for my movie.
Dude.
For two, which, going back to your puns, yeah, that's pretty
number
good.
Number two, Death Toilet.
Death Toilet 3, Duty Calls. And Death Toilet 4 is called Amity Death Toilet. And then literally it's just a quote that says, for God's sake, call a plumber. Dude, I don't know who this... I'm hoping this is all the same person, because this is brilliant.
Can I please be in Death Toilet 5?
I want to help make the next Death Toilet. I got to reach out to, who is this? Evan Jake. Oh my God. Did he make all the Death Toilets? Yes, he did. Oh my God. He directed all the Death Toilets. I got to reach out to this guy. To him.
See if he'll be a guest on my podcast.
Hey man, you could probably get him. Yeah, I'm the guy who made Death Toilet. Hell yeah, dude. You fucking rule.
If that guy turns me down, I'm going to be really frustrated.
Dude, it's so funny because, like, I'm talking shit, but at the same time, I'm like, man, I really hope the guy from Death Toilet likes my movie. I don't care how stupid of a thing someone... You can judge people as harshly as you want. I still want their approval on my thing.
But the thing is, the thing is, man, like, it's definitely like everybody looks at what they don't have, and what they could have means something greater. But the people who have whatever the thing that you don't have look at other stuff that they don't have like it's something greater than their level. Like everybody, yeah. It's like a MV Staircase.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean, man. It's, oh my God. Yeah, no, no, that's a great way to put it. It's so funny because, like, I still kind of seek approval from people, like, it's like people who used to gatekeep that either quit comedy or kind of suck now. I'm always a little happy that because, like, oh, finally I'll be a little accessible to them and they'll want to talk to me because I've gotten better at this. There's always a little, you know what it is? It's just insecurity.
Yeah.
And it, for some reason, it's one of those things like, and some of those times it's like, I could give a fuck about these people. But the guy who made Death Toilet, if he doesn't like Porch Pirate, I will die. I think my movie's good enough for the guy who made Death Toilet, is what I'm saying.
Did you watch Death Toilet?
No, but I did see the trailer for the first Death Toilet. And it's the harshest light in the bathroom.
Is it the toilet that eats you? Is it like, it's like a monster?
I don't know what it is, but it's
like remember in Look Who's Talking? I think maybe it might have been the second one, Look Who's Talking 2, when he's like, give me your poopy, where the toilet was talking to the kid and he was scared of it.
I haven't watched it, but the trailer I saw, it shows a priest giving a toilet an exorcism with really, with the most CGI flames coming out of the toilet. There's no flickering lights. It's just all with the lights in the bathroom that are on. And it is brilliant. I would watch this movie. I would own all of these movies on DVD if I could find them.
Neat.
Yeah. And Amityville Death Toilet just came out last year. So, hey, man, like, I have a series to watch. In fact,
I would watch more stuff on Tubi if it wasn't for the ridiculous amount of ads for stuff. Like,
that's the one.
3, 2, 1 countdown. Here's ads. I'm so tired of it.
It's how people make their money, and you could probably pay for a non-ad version of Tubi. So if you can't do it now, you probably will eventually.
Like the way Film Hub works, it's like they want an ad every 8 minutes or something. How do you expect to hold anyone's attention to watch your entire thing if you're gonna put ads in it every 8 minutes?
I think it depends on the movie.
I'm for sure not watching anything that does that.
Personally, I think it depends on the movie. If the movie is good, if it's captivating, if you will, like, sit there and go, oh shit, I'm invested in the story. I definitely got to see what happens next. Yeah, I'll sit through a fucking ad. I don't care. It's 30 seconds out of my life, and I grew up with watching movies on TBS where there was an ad every... It would literally go from scene, ad. So I can't really complain when I grew up with essentially the same format. The only difference is now I can hit a skip button after a few seconds. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't... To kind of age myself in that sense. I also want to make money.
We're spoiled. Spoiled. Spoiled brats. Don't show me more ads. Nah.
To be fair, there are too many ads, and algorithms don't get it right half the time. Like, why am I getting an ad in Portuguese? I don't speak Portuguese.
Right. The algorithms are out of whack.
Yeah. I have Verizon. Why am I getting an ad for AT&T or, you know, I was going to say Singular Wireless. This doesn't even exist anymore. I'm an idiot.
Trying to think of other stuff that's way out of business.
Like Sprint, Xtel. An ad for
Sprint. Sprint PCS.
To be fair, that's what Tubi should have. If it's going to have all these old B-movies... and all these, like, these crappy movies, then the ads should be just as cheap. I think we'd be hawking wares that are clearly out of date. Like, sell the Wonder Boner on there or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Just You never heard of that tool? It's like
Ginsu Knives, Cutco.
Ginsu Knives. There was the Wonder Bone. I remember that. It was like a fishing thing where you put a dead fish through and it's supposed to debone it so you don't have to fillet it.
What a name. What a name for a product. It's
called Wonder Boner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It was very silly. Silliness of...
You can treat it like a slinky and throw it down the stairs and see what happens.
Dude, what the hell did I just... It's so funny. Like, I can't find... I don't know if it's on Tubi, but there's another movie that... it's funny. A guy from work that I know, and I actually do... I admire talking to him because he's an older guy and he's worked on a lot of, like, old... Like 80s B-movies. So he's, you know, he's an old head. He did one... Was it called... Death? No. It was called Blood Diner. It's a 1987 film. You love puns, so you got to check out that trailer for Blood Diner. The whole thing is just a serious man trying to explain a thing, and it just keeps cutting to the movie, and it keeps cutting back to him getting more uncomfortable, and every single thing is a pun. Every sentence is just dripping in cheese, and it's wonderful. Nothing makes me happier than these dumb movies. Like, my brother doesn't get, like, it's funny because I have family members who don't get it. They're all like, why would you want to make that? And I'm like, because that is fun. It's fun. You get to, you don't mind mistakes. You get to just, so long as everyone involved just knows to not be that serious about this, then you can create all kinds of great things.
Yeah, it's just suspend your normal critiques of anything and just enjoy this for the piece of art that it is.
I'm saying this as the generation that thought that really wanted to see Freddy got fingered. You know what I mean? Like I'm that generation of dumb kid.
Tom Green, my butt is on the moose.
The Pink Flamingos for straight kids in the 90s, 2000s.
Oh, damn.
What's the one I just said? Blood. Okay, so I'm actually pulling it up right now because I think that's my thing to watch tonight. I'm going to fall asleep to Blood Diner. And I know me well enough to know I might still have a dream about Blood Diner. I won't call it a nightmare, but I'm certain I'll have a dream about Blood Diner tonight.
Jordan, have you been watching wrestling? Do you still watch wrestling anymore?
Like I haven't. WWE? I haven't been able to keep up with it, man. I feel so out of touch with it. I think the last I did watch Mania.
I was going to say, did you go to WrestleMania? Did you watch it?
I didn't, man. I really wanted to work it, but but they put me on other jobs. I was working a theater job that week.
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch it when I had a day off, and I was really excited for that final show. But yeah, man, I feel like and then I heard like Rhea Ripley got injured or something, and now she's had to give up her title. I felt like, oh my God, what did I miss? There was so much like promise.
If she has food poisoning, her name is changed to Diarrhea Ripley. Oh, he left.
Did you just kick me off and put me back on? Was that what happened?
No, my hands were nowhere near.
I pulled myself out of the room. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, it totally. The timing was like I hit the punch, and you were like, "No,
okay, thank you, good night." Like, yeah,
no, not gonna say Diarrhea Ripley. It's not gonna work. Oh,
Diarrhea Ripley is if that's not an Instagram name, it should be.
Oh, it absolutely should be. How come it took me this long to think of that?
Diarrhea Ripley. That's a good one. Nah, man. Unfortunately, I have not kept up with wrestling, man. I've been so fucking busy. It's been insane. Like, I think I just I haven't played video games like with my buddies like I used to. I haven't really done a lot of things, and I'm now just getting back into that space where it's like, oh, I can spend time doing other little things. But you know, I also just made a movie, and I have to figure out how to promote it. I have to fucking learn how to make some money back off it. So I have to write the next thing. I'm writing the next thing right now. So that's the biggest, that's been accumulating a lot of my time.
Do you think maybe this might be the third time that you've been a guest on this podcast that I can think of? I know you, there was the one where it was just you and me and Ash, and the one,
yeah,
it was just you and me, and then no, it was just you and me and Ash, and then the one was like you, I think Lemaire and Jesse were there.
Yes. Okay. So that was a while ago.
Yeah, and so that was a minute. So
yeah,
welcome back. I want to make sure at this point you kind of know where I'm headed. I'm very fascinated, and you know this. I'm fascinated with things being said on the record, this stuff being a time capsule and who we are at this very moment, and what our path is, where it's leading. I say that because I want to say to you again, and which is something you absolutely know. Please don't ever feel like if you need a resource, you need a friend, you need somebody to talk to. Don't ever feel like there's any hesitation in reaching out to me. I'm here for you. I'm glad to be your friend, and I'm glad that you were able to pay me the currency of your effort and your time, and I'm very pleased with that.
Weep. No, man, I really appreciate that, and obviously vice versa, ditto. Likewise. Yes. No, man, I've known you for years now. It's so funny. Like, I think I was...
Yeah.
I think I said that even before we started this one, man. There's been a handful of people that I haven't seen in forever who just like suddenly came back into my life just because. Oh wow, we're gonna catch up. I'm going back to LA next week, and I'm about to go meet up all my old friends from high school, and it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be weird, but it's also gonna be awesome because it's like people I actually care to see.
Nice.
It's not. Like, oh, it's this guy from high school that I don't really think about. Or, you know, it's like people I actually care about.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm excited to see where your path leads, man. And I'm excited to watch whatever the next steps are for you, for the next films that you make. Did you send me that screener already today?
I did. Yeah, that's for you to watch. And, you know, man, obviously you're one of the first people to know. I think I might have reached out to you at one point if you wanted to be in the movie. Because I know we needed a faceless killer at some point.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I want a little bit more of a challenge than playing a faceless nobody.
No, I know. And unfortunately, I all my friends who can beat me up, I've given very anonymous roles to. Which I feel I do feel terrible about. I gotta start writing for big people. Oh man.
I'm pleased to assist you in that. If
yeah,
you need me, you need a resource for anything, I'm there.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I say all that kind of to say the next couple things, I'll ask you a couple more things, wrap it up, send you home in the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake. The segment that I like to do as we're closing up, I like to call audio time travel.
Okay.
You might be familiar with this. You might have done this already one or two times. But basically, I say, like, let's say somebody who loves you the most stumbles across this recording 20 years from now, regardless of where we are, whether, you know, whether we're here or we're not, you're giving them a timestamp on this right now and who we are. What messages are you saying to those people who find this?
Rachel Marie Barnes, if you haven't kicked me out of the house yet,
I love you very much, and you've been a rock. Oh God, don't. I know I ate all the sour cream most of the time whenever we're doing things with food. That sounds creepier than I actually meant it to. But
sour grapes.
Yeah, yeah. I will. I'll try to stop. If I haven't learned to stop eating your snacks when you're not around, I will. I will work on that at some point in life.
Dude, I was happy when you found her. It was cool. It was cool to watch you go from single guy to relationship guy.
Oh, dude, that was one of the weirdest. That first year was everybody going like this because they were like, "Huh?" Just we don't sit at the same lunch table, so that was a very that was a surprise for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how I did.
You had my support the whole time, for sure. And you you will continue to have my support the whole time with anything you do.
Oh.
So, also wanted to say, if there's anything you wanted to say to me or ask to me, I'm giving you this platform right now to go ahead and say or ask me anything you'd like.
You're a wonderful wrestler and a wonderful human being, and I'm definitely going to get you in something soon.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna hash that out at some point, man. But yeah, no, we definitely got to collab on one of these projects, man. I know it's been just in the making. It's, you know, it's been a couple years in the making at this point.
I would love to for us to do some stand up comedy shows together.
Hell yeah, let's do them.
Maybe do some touring or anything like that. That could be fun.
Yeah, man, I can't just be on the road with Lemire.
Yeah, we gotta sit down and do some joke writing sessions. I think that could be real fun.
Yeah, yeah. Let's set
one of these up.
We gotta figure out a day when I am not just like just unbelievably exhausted from my own bullshit. But yeah, we'll definitely.
I got my joke book here. I'm constantly writing new shit in it every day.
That's one thing that I don't think exists anymore. There's no like sit down writing sesh with people. No one schedules their writing sessions anymore. It's just, oh, let me go write on the fly. No, go run it past your friends like you should. Someone you share humor with.
I was gonna write something down. You ever think like you think of something and you're like, oh, I better write that down before I forget it.
Yeah,
I was about to write something down earlier today, and I completely forgot it.
Dude, I still have not that story I told you about my dad and the tax thing. Mm-hmm. I still have not wrote that down, and it's just been in my brain all day. I think I might just run up on stage tonight and just say it somewhere, like down a Red Bull, and just go talk about how my dad may or may not be a. He's definitely cheated on somebody. I don't know if it was my mom or the IRS,
or his taxes. Yeah. I love it. Okay, so the way we close out is I'm going to say, hypothetically, I've gifted you this show. This is your first episode, your pilot episode of Evolving with Dorian Vasquez. You're in your most very best Jerry Springer's final thought type of way. How do you wrap this show up and send people home excited and inspired to be a better version of themselves?
Oof. Don't worry about getting big through social media. With that said, if someone unfollows you in real life, it is your God-given right to say something to them about it. And if they give you the brush off, it's just social media, you can hit them with the, then why'd you unfollow me, dickhead? If it's just social media, don't be afraid to be petty. We started with social media, so I figured we'd end with social media.
Do you do any impressions?
Any impressions? Who do you want to hear?
I don't know. What's your best? What's your best impression?
Oh, that's a rough one. Okay, so I used to do a pretty good Lemaire. where all I would do was just hold something and go, wow! Like, that was so fucking dumb. It depends on who I'm around, man. I could do, it's so funny because I've been doing impressions of other comics just in the house with Rachel. And I did it like it's some people you probably wouldn't know, but then I do it around other people just at parties when I get drunk enough. And they're like, holy shit, that's good. And I'm like, oh man, I feel good about that. I used to do a Chris Cotton.
Oh man, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, no, I feel bad about doing it now, but it's like
normally the way we like do the full wrap up now is usually I have somebody in whatever their favorite impression is, have them say the closing line. Be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
All right, I'll do it as Chris Scott. Like, hey, you just gotta be fun, be safe, and, you know, have a good time. Like, why you take your life so seriously? Listen to Corey Castle. He's a good boy. You know, he's a good boy. I don't know if that's good. It might be.
It's good enough. But it's good enough for me. And it took me right back down memory lane. Of missing my friend. I appreciated that very much.
Yeah, man. I miss it. R.I.P. Chris Cotton. Dedicate the episode to him, man.
R.I.P. Chris Cotton.
Yeah.
Everybody, if this is your first time checking out Evolving with Corey Castle and this is your first episode you've listened to, I got 331 other episodes of the show. You go back, check out the archives.
Yeah, fans of Dynamo over here.
Do you exist? I mean, if you found any value in this, hit the like button, subscribe, follow me on the social medias, and don't take everything so personally. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Be fun. Have safe. Keep evolving. Show's over.